जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद गौरंगा सो दिस इज पार्ट ऑफ द festival that's coming up in a few days time. On the 27th we'll be celebrating the most auspicious appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we were asked to do this service to speak on Sanatan Siksha or teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatan Goswami. The Lord's pastimes are unlimited. His devotees are unlimited. However, there are very few exceptional devotees who are very close to the Lord. And their qualities is like that, almost like of the Lord. They're godly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Radha and Krishna together, combined form. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahi, Anya. And in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan is divided also into two parts. One is that part which consists of where the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their associates are being performed. And the other part is that place where the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are being performed. They expanded themselves in such a way that simultaneously Lord Krishna and Radharani and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are performing pastimes at the same time. And those associates of Lord Krishna and that of Lord Chaitanya also expanded themselves, whereby they can also perform at the same time the pastimes with the Lord. The place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are performing the Leela in the spiritual world is called Sweta Dweep. It's like when you see the cover of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that blue cover with the lotus flower in Goloka Vrindavan. You can see on the other side is where Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the gopis and some of the cowherd boys and all the inhabitants of Braj are being depicted. And on the other side, you see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you know, the members of the Panchatattva, and others are also performing the Leela. So, just to give us an introduction of Srila Sanatan Goswami, before we can delve and go into the pastimes of the Lord's instructing Srila Sanatan Goswami, I think it would be appropriate to have a background of who is Srila Sanatan Goswami. Huh? Later on, of the week, I mean, today actually, we're starting the series of lectures or topics about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the morning classes, after Ekadasi, on the 25th or 24th, Ekadasi is when? 23, right? So 24th morning, we'll be hearing both from the English, or even before that, Srila Radha Govinda Goswami Maharaj will be giving in the Hindi classes. 24th, okay, after Ekadasi. And also, in the English part, we'll start hearing from Chaitanya Charitamrita or other literatures which depicts the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. It's already being arranged, who's gonna speak for the next few days after Ekadasi. So, what we're gonna do here is that we're gonna do here about, Srila Sanatan Goswami. Srila Sanatan Goswami is the elder brother of Rupa Goswami. Srila Sanatan Goswami is the leader of the six Goswamis. Rupa Goswami considered Sanatan Goswami as his guru, as his spiritual master. Both of them are very, very, well versed in the scriptures. They know many, many languages. And because of their very expert in the sastras, and they were very well known in those days, that the leader of the Mohammedan sampradaya, so to speak, the ruler, Mohammedan ruler at that time, they heard of their greatness, that he captured them. In those days, it's normal that one can, because they're under the Mohammedan rule for some time, that they're so powerful that whatever they want, it could happen. They can transform Hindu into Muslim by sprinkling water only. So we're going to read, this verse. Vairagya yog bhakti rasam prayatnai apayayam mang anibapsum andam kapam budirya paradukaduki sanatanastam prabhum asrayami. Raghunath Das Goswami has glorified Sanatan Goswami as follows in his Bilapa Kunsamanjali. Text 6. I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service, possessed of renunciation, but Sanatan Goswami, out of his causeless mercy, made me drink it, even though I was unable to do so. Therefore, he's an ocean of mercy. He is very much compassionate to fallen souls like me, and thus, it is my duty to offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet and take shelter of him. So this is Raghunath Das Goswami speaking, glorifying Sri Sanatan Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the six Goswamis as well, who he's the epitome of renunciation. That it says that his qualities are so magnanimous and his being renounced is so great that it can be etched on the stone. You cannot move him an inch. But his role model is Srila Sanatan Goswami, who is also very, very renounced. The transcendental position of Sanatan Goswami is glorified in the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika of Sri Kavi Karnapura, 181. Sarupamanjari Prisiha Purasadrati Manjari Sochate Nama Bedena Labanga Manjari Budhai. Rupamanjari's closest friend, who was known by the names Rati Manjari and Lavanga Manjari, appeared in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Sri Sanatan Goswami, who was considered to be a personal extension of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So does it mean that Sanatan Goswami has two other personalities? That's what it says here, right? Rati Manjari and Lavanga Manjari appeared in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Sri Sanatan Goswami. In Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, some of his associates have two kinds of personalities. That they are characterized in such a way because they exhibit the qualities of those devotees. Like Haridas Thakur is Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Brahma at the same time. Right? Because of the qualities of being so compassionate, so merciful. Prahlad Maharaj is so compassionate and merciful that he doesn't even want to go back home, back to Godhead, not unless his father also goes back with him, who is the epitome also, or the acme of being a materialist, Hiranyakashipu. And Lord Brahma also being very merciful at the same time. So in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, his associates also has, some of them have this two personalities in one body. Sanatan Goswami's literary contribution to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is paralleled only by Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami. The most important of the scriptures he compiled are the Hari Bhakti Vilas, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, his Dasama Tipani commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, also known as the Brihat Vaishnava Toshani, and the Dasama Charita. So this Hari Bhakti Vilas, actually, he is the main author, but then later on, it's been signed by Raghunath Bhat Goswami. It's like he's the editor. Like sometimes, even in our society, many scriptures we've been seeing right now being authored or being translated by, for example, Bano Swami, but then it'll be edited by Mahanidhi Swami. So in those days it's like that. Someone will write and someone will kind of like edit or put their name. And Hari Bhakti Vilas is very, very helpful for the Vaishnavas, especially explains about the qualities and different rules and regulations that a Vaishnava should develop. Starting from waking up in the morning, what mantras to say, how to brush your teeth, how to evacuate, how to put on tilak, how to enter the temple before entering the temple, practically minute, every minute details of how we can develop our love for Krishna by following these different rules and regulations. And then Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that was already translated by our late Gopi Paranadan Prabhu. I have not read the whole thing, but the story goes in Brihat Bhagavatamrita is that there are different levels of devotees, even in our universe. And then it reached up to Goloka Vrindavan. There are two parts where this, what is the name of that, Sanat? Kumar? Gopakumar, yeah. eventually he reached Goloka Vrindavan and he met Lord Krishna, and he performed or attained his eternal swarup to be a cowherd boy. And then the Dasama Tipani commentary in the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are just some of them. Srila Jiva Goswami gives the following account of the ancestorial line of his uncle, Sanatana Goswami, in the conclusion of his Lagu Vaishnav Toshani, a commentary on the Bhagavad. Sarvagya was a Yajur Vedic Brahmana descended from the dynasty of the sage Bharadwaj Muni, and as such was the most respectable Brahmana of Karnataka. He became the king of the region in 1381 AD. He was so learned that he was known as Jagat Guru, or World Teacher. His son was Aniruddha, who became king in 1416 AD. Aniruddha had two queens and two sons, Rupeshwar and Harihar. Rupeshwar was expert in all the branches of the sacred Shastra. His brother Harihar was expert in the scriptures concerning royal politics and was also highly educated. Rupeshwar left Karnataka for Paurastya with his wife. He was well versed in many branches of learning. There he became the friend of the king, Raja Sri Shekeshwar. Rupeshwar's son was Padmanava, who was a great pundit in the Vedic scriptures. Padmanava settled at Purushottam Jagannath Padmanava settled at Navahatta, Naiti, and the banks of the Ganges in Bengal. He had 8 daughters and 5 sons. All his sons were expert in the scriptures. The names of his sons were Purushottam, Jagannath, Narayana, Murari, and Mukunda Dev. His youngest son, Mukunda, moved to Fateya Badha near Jeshur in Bakla, Chandradweep Paragana. Sri Mukunda Dev's son was Sri Kumar Dev. He had many children. In their midst were Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, and Sri Anupam, or Balaba. They were all great Mahabhagavat devotees of the Lord. Sri Sanatan Goswami was born in 1488. Rupa Goswami was born in 1493. There's a 5 years difference. Rupa and Balaba Anupam were educated in a village called Sakurma, near the capital of Gouda, Bengal, and lived in their maternal uncle's house when their father died. Sanatan was Kumar Dev's eldest son. Rupa was his second son. Balaba was his youngest son. Jiva was Balaba's only son. Sanatan and Rupa were the names given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the two brothers when they later became his disciples. Their former names are not known. Some say that their original names were Amara and Santosh, respectively. The ruler of Bengal, Hussein Shah, heard from pious men about the qualifications of Rupa and Sanatan. Having heard their glories, the Shah wanted to appoint them to positions in his regime. Out of fear of the Yavana king, they were forced to accept. Actually, they were threatened by the king that if you don't join the government under me, we will kill the Hindus. We will kill your fellow Hindu men. So to protect others, they surrendered to Hossein Shah. At that time, it was not unusual for Hindus to accept posts in the government of the Muslim king. Among those Hindus who had accepted posts in the government of the Shah were many great devotees. Among them were Keshava Vasukan, who served the Shah as a city magistrate or police commissioner in Bengal. Gopinath Basu and Purandara Khan served as prime ministers. Shri Mukunda Kaviraj was a doctor. Keshava Chatri was a royal diplomat and counsel to the king. Sanatan became known as Sakar Malik and was appointed private secretary. Mulik means Lord and was the title often given by the Muslims to respectable and wealthy families with intimate government ties. Rupa became known as Davir Kash and was appointed revenue officer and secretary of treasury by Hushan Shah, the king of Goda. Shri Vallabha or Anupama was chief superintendent of the royal mint. They were well rewarded by the Shah for their services, who saw to it that they were given great riches. So the Muslim king is very confident. He trusts them so highly. That positions that the brothers were put on is very, very high. It's like almost representing the Hussein Shah himself, if he's not around. A private secretary means he answers everything practically. And if you are the in charge of the treasury, you must be really, really deserving it. You are trusted. It's like here, we have Prabhupada's accounts, and we trust everyone who is in that accounts, isn't it? We cannot just give it to someone who we don't really know and trust. What to say of this? Royal mint. What's that, royal mint? The one who makes money, gold, right? You must be really trusted. According to the Vedic customs, if one associates with Muslims, he becomes contaminated and must perform purificatory rituals. Sanatan Goswami always associated with Muslims without paying much attention to the customs of the day, and such considered himself to be fallen from his high Brahmana caste. He therefore always presented himself as fallen, although this was only a display of his great Vaishnav humility. For he was celebrated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and praised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Sri Rupa and Sanatan made their headquarters in Brahmakeli, which had been established as the capital of Bengal in 1486 by Sultan Barbak. At present, Brahmakeli is located in the Malda district of West Bengal, near the border of Bengal and the Ganges, and is about 5 miles from the Malda railway station. Brahmakeli was also the home of many famous devotees, including Sri Nisinga, the son of Advaita Acharya. This is a special place, this Brahmakeli. This place where Rupa and Sanatan is having their base, they actually made their base as if it is Vrindavan. It's called Gupta Vrindavan. They decorated, they made everything exactly like a replica of Vrindavan. Without the knowledge of the Hussein Shah, because they're very attached to Lord Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From within and without Bengal, many greatly learned scholars and brahmanas used to come to see Rupa and Sanata in their homes. From Karnataka came many brahmanas who settled near the house of Rupa and Sanatan. Their residential home was near the banks of the Ganges, near a town called Batavari. From Navadvip Dham, many brahmanas and pandits also came to Brahmakeli to serve Rupa and Sanatana in different ways. Sri Rupa and Sanatan were accomplished scholars. They were the crest jewels of the Gaudiya Vaishnava's scholars. Their teacher in philosophy and scripture had been the brother of the great Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vidya Bachaspati, who taught Sanatan Goswami all the Vedic scriptures. His devotion to Vidya Bachaspati cannot be described. Vidya Bachaspati would often stay in Ramakeli. The three brothers, Sanatan, Rupa, and Anupam, were absorbed in the Bhava Bhakti from early childhood. Remembering Vrindavan, they used to play in the forest of Tamal, Keli Kadamba, and Tulsi trees that surrounded their childhood home. In the midst of this were ponds they named after Radhakund and Shyamakund. In this way, they were constantly absorbed in rendering service to Sri Madan Mohan. Hearing of the wonderful pastimes of Sri Gaurasundar in nearby Navadvip, they were anxious to one day have his darshan, but they were told by their inner voice, "You must be patient. Soon you will have darshan of that great Lord who is the savior of the fallen." When Sri Sanatan was still young, he had an unusual dream. In his dream, he saw a Brahmana. The Brahmana gave him a Srimad Bhagavatam. Upon receiving the Bhagavat, Sanatan's hair stood up in ecstasy. His dream broke. When he awoke and saw the Brahmana and the Bhagavat had gone, he became very depressed. The next morning, after he studied it, while he was seated for worshipping the Lord, a Brahmana appeared, carrying the Bhagavat. Standing near Sanatana, the Brahmana said, "Take this Bhagavat. Always study it, and all perfection will be yours." Saying this, the Brahmana gave him the Bhagavat and went away. Upon receiving the treasure of the holy Bhagavat, Sri Sanatana's ecstasy knew no bounds. From that day on, Sri Sanatana would only study the Bhagavat, leaving aside other scriptures, knowing that the Bhagavat to be the essence of all scriptures. In his Krishna Lila Stava, he has written, "Madeka bandhu mat sangin mad guru man mahadhana man nistaraka mad bhagya madananda namostute." Sanatan Goswami offers his respects to the Bhagavat by saying, "O holy Bhagavat, you are my only company, my only friend and my guru. You are my greatest treasure, my personal savior, the emblem of my highest fortune, the very form of ecstasy. I offer my obeisances to you." When they heard the news that Sri Chaitanya, the life and treasure of Nadia, had taken sannyas and gone to Puri, Rupa and Sanatan fainted. Having never seen Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, Rupa and Sanatan were despondent upon hearing that he was leaving Bengal forever. At this time, they heard a divine voice saying, "Do not be in anxiety. The merciful Sri Gauranga will soon come here." Hearing this divine voice, they were consoled. After happily spending 5 years headquartered in Puri, Mahaprabhu wanted to return to Bengal to take darshan of the Ganges and to see his mother. And so he set out for Navadvip. The joy of the devotees was boundless. Getting the opportunity to see her son after such a long time, Sachidevi completely forgot herself. For many days, she cooked and Gaurasundar enjoyed her cooking. Mahaprabhu stayed at the house of Advaita in Shantipur for some days and then continued on to Ramkeli Gram, Shantipur. That's going to be also celebrated on Sunday, is it? Yes, on Sunday, 24th, festival of Shantipur, Advaita Acharya. This is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is many more pastimes on the topic whereby Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the house of Advaita in Shantipur. I don't think we will read this right now. We can read it again tomorrow. Otherwise, we'll just keep on reading. What do you want to do? Keep reading? Okay. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to proceed from Kuliya toward Vrindavan, thousands of men were with him, and all of them were devotees. Wherever the Lord visited, crowds of innumerable people came to see him. When they saw him, all their unhappiness and lamentation disappeared. Wherever the Lord touched the ground with his lotus feet, people immediately came and gathered the dearth. Indeed, they gathered so much that many holes were created in the road. It's amazing, huh? That they always wanted to get the dust. The Lord eventually arrived at a village named Ramkeli. This village is situated on the border of Bengal and is very exquisite. While performing Sankirtan in Ramkeli Gram, the Lord danced and sometimes lost consciousness due to love of God. While he was at Ramkeli Gram, an unlimited number of people came to see his lotus feet. When the Mohammedan king of Bengal heard of Mahaprabhu's influence in attracting innumerable people, he became very astonished and began to speak as follows. Such a person who is followed by so many people without giving them charity must be a prophet. I can surely understand this fact. The Mohammedan king ordered the magistrate, "Do not disturb this Hindu prophet out of jealousy. Let him do his own will whenever, wherever he likes." Mahaprabhu's auspicious visit was welcomed in Ramkeli, where all the devotees became overwhelmed wherever he goes. From all directions came thousands of people to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the king became a little concerned about this phenomenon and began asking questions about Mahaprabhu, his counselor, Keshava Chatri, who was a devotee, told him, "Yes, I have heard about this mendicant sannyasi. He is begging here and there with three or four followers." The king said, "What are you saying? Thousands and thousands of people follow him wherever he goes." When he heard this, Keshava Chatri smiled a little and intimated that this was a great exaggeration. Hearing the words of Keshava Chatri, the Shah's mind was not pacified. He asked Rupa Goswami about all this. Rupa Goswami said, "Why are you questioning me? Better that you question your own mind, because you are king of the people, you are representative of the Supreme Lord, therefore you can understand better than I who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is." After hearing this, the Shah was pacified. Beneath a tree in the banks of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped to rest. He was accompanied only by his most intimate associates. In the evening, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami arrived there. They met Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, who informed Mahaprabhu of their arrival. In great humility, the two of them took bunches of straw between their teeth and each binding a cloth around his neck. They fell down like rods before the Lord. Upon seeing Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Sanatan were overjoyed and began to weep out of humility. The Lord asked them to get up and bless them. They arose and taking a straw between their teeth, they humbly offered their prayers with folded hands. They said, "All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the most merciful savior of the fallen souls. All glories to the Lord." Why is it that they have straw in their teeth? Humility? Huh? Humility. A straw in the street is on the same level as the ground. It's not like the grass. The grass are like this. And even if you step on the grass will come down, but after some time, they will go up again. Have you noticed that? Unless they are like cut from their roots, then they will not come up anymore. That's why there is no lower than the straw in the street. Lower than the straw on the street is the ground itself. Right? So what that verse, Trinadapi Sinichena, Taroriva Saisnuna, Amanena, Manadena, Kirtaneya Sadahari. One should be more humbler than a blade of grass, because that grass itself is like already on the ground and it will not come up anymore. So, where are we now? Then they submitted themselves, saying, "Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men, and our association and occupation are also of the lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you. We feel very much ashamed standing here before you. Dear Lord, you have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. You should consider that in this world, there is none so fallen as us." This should be also the mood of the disciples. The disciples' mood is that one should be always in front of the spiritual master, think that he is a fool. Well, not even a fool. He's fool number one. To be a fool is not good enough. But to be fool number one, that you don't know, don't think that, oh yes, I know. Even the guru sometimes may act that he does not know. We should not act in such a way that I know more than the guru. Show that we know more. Not unless they ask us for the opinion. You have delivered the two brothers, Jagai and Madai, but to deliver them, you don't have to exert yourself much. The two brothers, Jagai and Madai, belong to the Brahmana caste, and their residence was in the holy place of Navadvip. They never served low-class persons, nor were they accessories to abominable persons. Jaga and Madai had but one fault. They were addicted to sin. However, heaps of sin are burned to us as simply by Navabas, the dim reflection of the holy name. Jaga and Madai uttered your name in blasphemy, but their utterance of the divine name delivered them. We are millions of times inferior to Jagai and Madai. We are more degraded, fallen, and sinful than they are. Actually, we belong to the caste of meat-eaters, for we are servants of meat-eaters. Because we associate with them, we have become the enemy of cows and brahmanas. It says that Jagai and Madai's sins are overloaded. It's like a hard drive of a computer crashed. No more space to write down the sinful activities that they perform. Chitragupta's, is that the name? Chitragupta, the secretary of Yamaraj, he ran out of ink. He ran out of ink and he ran out of paper also. And so to speak, the computer crashed. It's too much overloaded. But, it says here, but even Jagai and Madai, they were delivered, even though they have heaps and heaps of sins, even by uttering the name in blasphemy. How merciful Lord Gauranga is. But they consider themselves as lower than Jagai and Madai. In this way, the two brothers humbly submitted that because of their abominable activities, they were now bound by the neck and hands by sin and wallowing in the filthy ditch of sense gratification. They continued their appeal to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one in this universe is powerful enough to deliver us. You are the savior of lost souls. Only you can save us. If you deliver such fallen sinners as ourselves, the strength of your mercy will become famous throughout the world. You have come to save the most fallen. We are the most fallen. If you show your mercy to us, then the power of your mercy will be witnessed by everyone, and your mission to save the most fallen will be a great success. Although we are unqualified to receive your mercy, still it is our heart's desire. It's true. It's amazing how they analyze actually their position, which is, in a sense, it is much lower than Jagai and Madai. Jagai and Madai may be such devotees that they always intoxicated, eating meat. But to be a servant of meat eaters is much worse. To eat meat is bad, but to serve a person who's eating meat is much worse. Just like it is dangerous to associate with a woman for the mentality to enjoy them, but it is much worse situation to associate to those who are attached to women. That is more dangerous. That's what it says in the Shastra. So it's the same thing here. They concluded themselves as much, much worse. So they're putting themselves in a very, very low position. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Davirkas and Sakar Malik, you two are my old servants." You see? He's trying to reveal, you are two my old servants. That means as Krishna in the spiritual world, there are two manjaris, right? Rati and Labanga and Rupa. From this day on, your names will be Rupa and Sanatan. See, this is how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated them. There's no such thing as Yajna, Swaha, and all these different mantras. No, just by giving names to a person, actually you are initiated by that person. So nowadays also we have this in our movement that, you know, can you give name to my son? Can you give name to my daughter? Right? It's like some kind of initiation as well. But the formal initiation in our sampradaya is that when you sit down on the faryagya and there is an officiating pujari or priest who will do all these rites of sacrifice. My dear Dabir Kas and Sakar Malik, you two are my old friends. From this day on, your names will be Rupa and Sanatan. Now, please give up this display of humility, for it breaks my heart. You have written me many kind and humble letters, from which I could understand all about you. In order to instruct you, I sent you a verse that read, if a woman has a paramour, she will perform her household duties even more carefully before, so that no one will know, all the while thinking of her paramour and relishing that mellow within her heart. My only business in coming to Bengal was to see the two of you. Everyone asks why I have come to Ramakeli. No one knows that I have come here only to see you. It is well that you have come to visit me. Now you may return to your homes. Have no fear of anything. Birth after birth, you have been my eternal servants. I am sure that Krishna shall soon deliver you. Now this is the duty of the spiritual master, to see the disciples, to check on them whether they're making spiritual progress. And I can see this even on my own spiritual master. He told me few times in few occasions that I'm only coming here because I want to see my disciples. Because disciples doesn't come to see the guru. They're so much absorbed in household affairs that they're so entangled that they will not have time to see the guru. But this will not be the case when the guru gets old. When the guru gets old, how can he keep on traveling to see the disciples whom he considered them as the children, right? The guru's duty is to see whether the disciples making advancement or not, and to enliven them and to enthuse them to continue on the process of devotional service. So it's the same thing here. Now I can see why, based on my experience, why my guru also, he only goes to these different places where he does not have any duty in the role of us like a GBC, but he will go to these places and only go there for 1 or 2 days and sacrifice so much. He could have just stayed and do the work by not traveling. Now I can see why he is doing this, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set an example. I'm sure your Guru Maharaj is like that also. Correct? But your Guru Maharaj also is not, you know, not in the capacity to keep on traveling, but he will go to those places just to visit the students or the disciples. Now we see why, isn't it? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example. First time I read like this. Now you may return to your homes. Have no fear of anything. Birth after birth, you have been my eternal servants. I am sure that Krishna will soon deliver you. This is also the description in the sastras, that our relationship with the spiritual master is eternal. It's not just this lifetime, even before also. But of course, Guru is one. Ultimately, who will deliver us? You see, I am sure that Krishna shall soon deliver you. It is not the Guru who delivers the disciple. Who delivers the disciple? Krishna. Through the representative, the Guru. But sometimes in our movement, we have this mentality that actually it is the Guru who's delivering me. It's the Guru who's saving me. Guru's compassion is there because it reflects the compassion and mercy of Lord Krishna. But ultimately, Krishna is the one who's saving us through his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. Right now, the position of Srila Prabhupada has been written or established. Now they have a new papers that just came out from the recent GBC meetings about the position of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada says that my books will be the law book for the next 10,000 years. And he mentioned also one time that the only difference between you and me is that I will never fall down. He says that. I will never fall down, but you may have a tendency to fall down, but I will never fall down. So in our society, there are many gurus. And he said also one time that anyone who follows my instructions and spread Krishna consciousness will be regular guru. He says, regular guru. So those regular gurus can give initiation after I leave my body, because that's not the etiquette that the disciples will give initiation while the guru is still around. Unless they give the permission. Even nowadays we have gurus, junior gurus. That means they have, the guru is still around, but they are given also the privilege and the authority or the power to become guru. We have many instances in our movement like that. Even in Russia, or even here, our Kadamba Kanana Swami, his guru is Jayadvaita Swami. And anyway, so it is written there that I'm just paraphrasing this. I can't remember the whole thing. It says that anyone who, as long as they follow the principles as enunciated by Srila Prabhupada of being a guru, is considered as liberated. Okay, regular guru is liberated. However, as soon as he stops following the principles and instructions given by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he is considered as fallen. It's natural, right? He may be a regular guru, but if he stops following the instructions and the principles set by our founder Acharya is considered as fallen. So actually they know this before, and we all know this before. Even Prabhupada says that as long as you repeat what's in my books and you tell others, you are perfect. Right? Because you are repeating what is perfect. Yeah, without change, without adding, without subtracting, as it is, you are perfect. So as long as actually all of us are continuing to follow the principles, the rules and regulations, as it is, you are considered as liberated. Not just the guru, the disciples also. But as soon as you neglect, and as soon as you become slackened, then you're considered as fall down. That's why Prabhupada says, I will never fall down, but you may. That is the difference. So this will be the test. This will be the test for those who will get initiated. They will read this, because in the past, we have this mentality that my guru will never fall down. But we have seen that many gurus fell down. Because of why? Stopping the following of principles and rules and regulations. Even though at the time of initiation, they are liberated. Regular guru. But then they stop. Finish again. So ultimately, he says there that the society or the gurus these days should also encourage their disciples to have a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada in terms of his books, in terms of his lectures, in terms of his conversations and different above. Anything that has something to do with Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada's position will never be diminished in this way. So this will be a test for those who will get initiated. They will read this first. And if they say, what? My guru will fall down? There's a tendency that my guru will fall down? There is a tendency. Even if you're in the Bhava platform, how many, you know, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what's that? Bharat Maharaj. He's already in the Bhava platform. That is like one step just before Prema Bhakti. He still fell down. This is the new statement. You'll read it. Actually, it's available now in ISKCON News. ISKCON News. ISKCON News. Yeah. That is the website. We should post this, actually. Madhava Bindu Prabhu, if you can find that website, try to get a printout. We should put it also out there so they can read it. This is very important. Because there will be still some fall down in the future. There will still be. First class level? It will never be. Uttama Pundama. Because in the Nectar of Instruction, it says, one can be a guru in Uttama platform, in the Madhyam platform, and in the Kanista platform. Kanista platform can become guru also, regular guru. He may fall down, he's Kanista. And in the Madhyam platform also, he may fall down. But those who are in the Uttama platform, like Srila Prabhupada, they will never fall down. Because you reach that, once you reach that far, that height, no more falling down on that level. Yeah. But I attended this seminar. I attended the seminar of leadership seminar. We have a 5-day seminar of becoming or being guru in ISKCON. Being guru in ISKCON. So we have a discussion about the principles and values of being guru. Diksha and Siksha. Sometimes Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that sometimes the Siksha Guru is more important than the Diksha Guru. Because Diksha Guru, we see him maybe once, twice a year. He's busy preaching, right? And Siksha Guru will always be there with us, the one who is taking care of our spiritual life. Like the president, for example, his main concern is like, you know, spiritual being, or other devotees who really want to help us make advancement. So they're the ones actually who nourish our Bhakti Lata Bij. So I mentioned, I gave a comment that the disciples should always see the guru in the Uttama platform. Then everyone was looking at me. Where did you find this? Where did Prabhupada says this? I says, I remembered hearing this. I cannot tell where it is. But then I gave the reason why. Because if you think that your guru is in the Madhyam platform, how are you going to make advancement? That is like an offense already. Even though, let's say, my guru is in the Madhyam platform, I should still think that he is in the Uttama platform. The disciple, the own disciple, should think. But we should not equate him at the same level as Srila Prabhupada. That is an offense also. We cannot equate our Guru Maharaj right now as the same level as Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is way... He's his most prominent, the eminent spiritual master of ISKCON for the next 10,000 years. So now, let's say my guru is in the Madhyam platform, but who am I to decide? I was just hearing a lecture of Srila Prabhupada the other day about a person who commit a mistake, and disciple says, Prabhupada, he is wrong. Prabhupada is wrong. It's not for you to decide who is wrong or who is right. It is the spiritual master's duty to say who is right or who is wrong. Disciple doesn't make that decision. It's the spiritual master. That means Krishna. Krishna knows. So, and they agree, yes, because in the Nectar of Instruction, verse number 5, it says like that, that, you know, Guru can be an Uttama, Madhyam, and Kanista. They're all Guru. So they agree, and then in the end, Anuttama Prabhu, who facilitate the course, he says, Prabhu, I want you to look for this. Where is this? Where is this? Because philosophically, it is correct. Yeah. Yeah, it's, but there, yeah, I agree with you that. I just heard Prabhupada, whatever you say something, there should be evidence. But this is philosophically correct, what I said. I said also one thing. It says, we were discussing this. It says in the sastra that one should not be alone with any woman except his own wife. One should not be alone with one's mother or sister. Correct? Yeah, it says in the sastra. But there I said, you can be alone also with your mother. In front of GBCs and gurus. Philosophically, that is correct. Now if my mother is here, and I will say, oh, sorry mother. It says in the sastra that I should not be alone with you. And she is very old already, so I have to call my other brother to speak with you. Are you going to tell that to your mother? It's not practical. It's not practical. Isn't that correct? Swami Karishi Prabhu? Are you going to tell that to your mother? Well, it says in the scripture like this. But that it says in the scripture. Practicality. Yes. Of course. So that's practicality is like that. So also, it may not be found. I don't know, but I've heard of this, and I think I've read it, that our problem. We should see our guru as he being in the Uttama platform. Simple. So that we will respect and give honor to him, just like we give due to Krishna, because he's representative of Krishna.
Sometimes
Yes. Yes. Yeah, they take advantage. Yes. Yeah, but yeah, that is understandable. It becomes a business. Guru as a business. Definitely. Definitely. Yes, yes. Yes. So that's why we're being educated. And actually it says that the GBC knew this before, but they did not write it down. They did not put it into paper. This is the main reason why they fall down. They stop following. They stop chanting their rounds because they think they become Mahabhagavat. They don't need to chant anymore. They stop coming for the morning program thinking that they're already exempted from sadhana bhakti. They don't come to the class because they will think that, oh, this class is not the same class as mine. I will only come to the class if I'm giving the class. This is not criticism. This is like a fact, what we're talking about here. That's why even consider they're very, we had very, very powerful gurus in our movement, but they stopped following. Then, and it has to be clearly mentioned that it is not the guru who is saving us. Who is saving us? Krishna. It is through the guru that we are being saved. So we are thankful to the guru that actually, because of you, I am being saved. This has to be very clearly educated to the new devotees who will get initiated and to those devotees who are right now. Because some of us is still... If you can hear some of... There is one Prabhupada disciple in Mayapur itself. He's glorifying his guru like, my guru is the only acharya and everyone else, every other gurus are preachers. And the guru's picture is bigger than Prabhupada. And the disciplic succession's picture is like this, and his guru's picture is like this in the altar. That's right. So they have to be educated. And we're talking about here. That's why we come to this point, because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiating Rupa and Sanatan. We come to this point. I was not intending this to speak on, because I can clearly see here that the Guru, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to Ramakeli only because he wanted to see Rupa and Sanatan. The Guru only travels because he wanted to see the disciples. But later on, when they get old, the disciples has to come and see the Guru. He cannot travel anymore. It's too much for them. That's why they age so fast. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. The Paramatma gives the knowledge through the spiritual master, because Paramatma speaks through the spiritual master. Chaitya Guru, yes, yes. Oh yeah. That is the duty of the disciple, is to follow the instructions coming from the spiritual master, and that instructions from the spiritual master is coming from Chaitya Guru, the Paramatma from within, who is representative or none different also than Krishna. Yeah, that's how it is. Yeah. Yeah, you follow? No, they're going to say, well, I don't need a guru then. I just go directly to Krishna. But we cannot go directly to Krishna because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that you should go through disciplic succession to accept a bona fide spiritual master. Even from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, Tadbidhi Panipatena. So one may say that, well, I don't need any guru. I just go straight to Prabhupada. Then it cannot be also. We cannot say, well, I don't want Prabhupada. I just go straight to Rupa Goswami. One may say like that, but no, it's not. That's not how it goes, that disciplic succession. They said, was it at this time? Oh yes, he was saying here, now you may return to your homes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking. Have no fear of anything, birth after birth. You have been my eternal servants. I am sure that Krishna shall soon deliver you. See? He was saying, he did not say, I will deliver you. He was saying, Krishna shall deliver you soon. And you have been my eternal servants. So this is our relationship with our spiritual master also, that we are eternal servants of our Guru Maharaj. Because he has that unique, very special relationship with Lord Krishna as a servant as well. This is one thing we learn also in the seminar, that we should always act and think that we are always servant. We are always servant. Because as soon as we think that we are the controller or the master, then we'll have difficulty. Being a guru actually is not so easy. It has a lot of responsibilities, but one must protect himself because, you know, many times the guru also is only surrounded by his disciples, and he doesn't want to associate with others. Right? And that is dangerous also. Very dangerous. The Lord then blessed them by placing his hands on their heads. Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan then touched the Lord's lotus feet to their heads. When all the devotees saw the Lord's mercy upon Rupa and Sanatan, they became joyful and began chanting the holy name of Hari. Many of the Lord's personal associates were there, including Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, Shivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda, Jagadananda, Murari, and Bakreshwar Pandit. Following the Lord's instructions, Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan touched the holy feet of all these great devotees, who became exceedingly happy and congratulated the two brothers for attaining the Lord's mercy. At this time, Sri Vallabha also received the mercy of the Lord and became known as Anupam. After taking permission from the devotees there, Sri Rupa and Sanatan prepared to depart, but before doing so, submitted a proposal before the Lord's lotus feet. They said, O Lord, although the ruler of Bengal, Hussein Shah, has some regard for you, your mission here is now complete. Thus we humbly request you to depart, lest some misfortune befall you and the devotees. The king may have some respect for you, but he is a meat eater and a Muslim, and as such is naturally inimical to the cows and brahmanas. He cannot be trusted for long. It is our humble consideration that there is no need to go to Vrindavan with such a great crowd. Vrindavan is a place of simplicity and rustic beauty, not pomp and grandeur. We submit that it is best not to make a pilgrimage there with hundreds and thousands of followers. After speaking in this way, Sri Rupa and Sanatan offered their respects at the Lord's lotus feet and went home. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then made up his mind to leave that village. The following morning he left for Kanai Natashala, where he saw many of the paintings of Krishna's pastimes that were kept on display there. That night he considered Sanatan's proposal not to go to Vrindavan with a big crowd. He thought, if I go to Vrindavan with so many people, its mellow ambience of simplicity and rustic beauty will be ruined. I shall go there alone or with one other person to Vrindavan. In that way, my pilgrimage to Vrindavan will be very beautiful. Thinking in this way, the Lord returned to Jagannath Puri. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Sanatan Goswami managed to free himself from his government duties and escape from prison to join Rupa, Shirupa in Vrindavan. We will read this. This is part of this now. Later, maybe tomorrow. Is there any other comments or questions? Huh? Liberation means free from the molds of material nature. That is moksha. Sagunan samatit yaitam brahma buyaya kalpate. You are free. You are free from the modes of material nature. That is liberation. How can we know? Through your actions, through your activities. That's all. Prabhupada was once asked by Jayadvaita Swami about how can we see the spiritual master is supposed to be perfect, right? Guru means he's perfect. But sometimes we see the spiritual master, sometimes he's forgetting sloka. Few classes of Srila Prabhupada, he will quote a sloka and he will say, oh, now I am forgetting. And he will say one line of sloka and the next line sloka is different. He asked Prabhupada. Oh, he dared to ask Prabhupada. But this is a very important question. Prabhupada says, yes, spiritual master means he is perfect. His perfection is his eagerness to spread the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is his perfection. His eagerness. But sometimes we see a spiritual master falling asleep while giving class. I've seen it myself. Why do they fall asleep while giving class? Because they were preaching, they were working day and night. That while his eagerness to continue spread Krishna consciousness by giving class, he'll fall asleep. And no one says one single word. They will wait for him. And if we know that he's like a little bit too much, then one of his god brothers will come at the back and he will massage. I've seen it. And he is perfect. Why? Because of his eagerness to preach Krishna consciousness. Now, as long as we're following Prabhupada, you are liberated. If we keep on following, now if we start neglecting, then Maya will enter. Then you're not liberated anymore. But in the Uttama platform, he's always liberated. We can be sometimes in Maya, sometimes we can be in Krishna, so, but as long as we keep on following, then you are liberated. That is my understanding. I don't know a scriptural reference where you can find this, but this is how my understanding. And according to Prabhupada, that is... Ya ihasya haridasya nikilasu apavastasu mukta sangha jiva mukta sa uchate. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, he is on the platform of becoming liberated. Yeah, it's like he says also, it says also that when you see Lord Jagannath And Ratayatra day, you are liberated. And the Ratayatra day, when you see the Lord's cart passing by and you follow, yeah, you are liberated. Liberated means even at the beginning of becoming liberated until you reach the liberation, you are considered as liberated. Even the part of liberation. It's like buying a ticket. You got your ticket in paper ticket. It's like as if you reach already your destination. Because you already have it in your hand that you're reaching that destination. You have not reached the airport yet. You have not come to the airplane yet. And something may happen on the way. You may get accident on the way, which means the fall down. Okay? So, but once you got this ticket of liberation, of following, when you start chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this is your, it's like as if you're there, but you still have to follow, be attentive, and all those rules and regulations. That is my understanding. So their meaning is that as long as they follow rules and regulations that instructed by Srila Prabhupada, the principles, they are what you call regular guru. Considered. They're considered. But once you stop, then you fall down. So we should not see them as at the same level as Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada says that the only difference between you and me is that I will never fall down. That means we have the tendency to fall down. That doesn't mean that we will fall down. It's not necessarily that we will fall down. We may fall down if we stop. So all the new devotees who will take initiation should know this, thinking that, oh, my guru is a Mahabhagavat, he will never fall down. No, only Prabhupada said that himself, that I will never fall down. That has to be philosophically, they have to understand and they have to be educated in that way. Isn't it? Because as I mentioned right now, because some are really, you know, some disciples, they put their guru as even, you know, bigger than Prabhupada. And, or, let's say not just bigger, not bigger than Prabhupada, bigger than anybody else, any other gurus. That my spiritual master is the only acharya in our movement, and all other gurus are only preachers. It is an offense, of course. But they have to be educated. They have to be educated by their own guru also. That the guru will say that, you know, you should treat my other God brothers like how you treat me. Because that's why it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? And some are very fanatics. Some disciples. Very, very, very fanatic. Yeah, it's like there is a GBC resolution many years ago that one should not put guru's button in their, you know, in their bid bag or display. Don't display. And I've seen some devotees here walking around with buttons. I say, Prabhuji, you're not supposed to. But the guru is seeing the disciple wearing their own buttons in the disciple's bid bag. And he's not saying anything. I have to say it myself. I have to say it myself. So if the guru is seeing like this and he's letting them do, that means he is enjoying. Isn't it? I've seen one guru, I'm sorry, I don't want to, this is a fact, you know. It's Prabhupada's disappearance day. You know what we do in Prabhupada's, before Prabhupada's disappearance day? We go for parikrama of Prabhupada, right? We carry him palanquin, right? We go to different temples. And I saw him with his disciples in a car, going in a different direction. I said, Maharaj, where are you going? Oh, we're going parikrama in some place in Braj. But Maharaj, Prabhupada is going parikrama. Why are you not coming with us? No, I'm going here. So, what's going to happen to his disciples? Then They go, it's not, Prabhu, this is, I hope I'm not committing an offense, but this is an observation. I'm telling you this. If he cannot come to the parikrama, let's say, you know, he should have told at least his disciples, you go with Prabhupada. You go. I cannot go, my health is not well. Please excuse me, but you please go. At least you go. Isn't it? And if he's not training his disciples like that, what's going to happen to our movement? That's why, see, what things that we cannot do in the past, now we started to do. Whatever we cannot do right now, it'll be corrected later on. Yes. People will just say, why you did not tell this before? Because the GBC knew this before. They were talking about this before, but they did not write it down so that we can read and we can see. People are asking, why, what's going on with movement? Why gurus are falling down? Huh? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's the problem. No. Prabhupada never takes credit for himself. He always say, this is due to my Guru Maharaj's mercy only. We should always think like that. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, he never takes, oh yeah, yes. Prabhupada says one time, that my disciples, you are my spiritual master. Because I learn from you. By teaching you, I learn from you how to develop Krishna consciousness. He said that his, you boys, young boys and girls, actually you're my spiritual master. How the guru is saying that? Because they learn from them also. Yeah, then the disciples should think, oh yes, now I'm a spiritual master and you're my disciple. That's another thing. Anyway, we can talk more tomorrow. And Sanat.